Tee it up, Buttercup.
Good evening, everyone. It is September 3, 2025, at 6 o'clock p.m. I would like to call the Ponce Inlet Special Town Council meeting to order. I would ask everyone to please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let the record reflect that all council members are present and in chambers. We have one agenda item this evening with two parts, 4A and 4B, and they will be discussed together. Once our town manager takes this agenda item and presents it to us. At this time, I'm going to ask our town clerk, Kim Turbano, to read both the resolution in whole and then the ordinance by title only. Ms. Turbano.
Thank you. Resolution 2025-12, a resolution of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Volusia County, Florida, adopting the tentative millage rate for the levying of ad valorem property taxes for municipal purposes on all taxable property within the town for the fiscal year beginning October 1st, 2025 and ending September 30th, 2026, stating the percentage by which the millage rate to be levied is above or below the rollback rate, providing for severability, providing for conflicting resolutions, providing for an effective date. Whereas Florida law requires the Town Council of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Florida, to pass a resolution or an ordinance establishing a tentative millage rate for the levying of ad valorem property tax for municipal purposes on all taxable property within the town limits of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Florida, for the fiscal year beginning October 1st, 2025 and ending September 30th, 2026, and whereas Florida law requires said resolution or ordinance to state the millage rate to be levied and also to state the percentage by which the millage rate to be levied is above the rollback rate is computed pursuant to Florida law, and whereas the Town Council of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Florida, has duly considered the budgetary requirements of the town and is now acting in accordance with the terms, provisions, and procedures contained in Section 200.065 of the Florida statute at this duly advertised public hearing. Now, therefore, it be resolved by the Town Council of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Florida, Section 1, adopting the tentative ad valorem property tax millage rate. The tentative millage rate for the fiscal year commencing on October 1st, 2025 through September 30th, 2026 is 6.25 mils, which equals $6.25 per 1,000 of assessed valuation for the purpose of raising income in the sum of $8,281,730 at a 95% collection rate. Section 2, percentage by which the millage to be levied is above or below the rollback rate. The percentage by which this millage rate to be levied is above the rollback rate of 6.2180 mils is 0.51%. Ordinance 2025-07, the ordinance of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Florida, incorporating the final audit budget for fiscal year 2023 through 2024, which began on October 1st, 2023, and ended on September 30th, 2024, amending the budget for fiscal year 2024 through 2025, which began on October 1st of 2024 and ends on September 30th of 2025, adopting the budget for the fiscal year 2025-2026, which will begin on October 1st of 2025 and ends on September 30th, 2026, providing for severability, providing for conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
Thank you very much, Ms. Turbano. And before the presentation by our town manager, Mike Disher, I would like to comment on the following. Each council member was invited to speak directly with members of the finance team, our department heads, and our town manager. Since we received the initial budget packet, I trust that each of us have availed ourselves to these opportunities and had their questions answered prior to this meeting. Now, a number of our residents have submitted questions, many of which have been answered and have been addressed, and the staff will continue working to answer any remaining questions that were recently presented. Once the presentation that will be made by our town manager concludes and council has the opportunity to discuss amongst ourselves, we will take public comment. So with that, Mr. Disher.
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council. This budget is the product of many months of work, starting this past January, involving the staff, the council, and of course our citizens and boards. So what I'd like to do is go first give you an overview. Is this going to work? Here we go. All right, so here's what we're going to talk about today. First of all, a statement of who we are, what we do. This is why we are here, including vision statement, mission statement, and key services. Then we're going to talk about the budget process, how we got to this point in time, starting back in January. And then a little talk about the budget and tax environment. That's kind of the big picture look of the assumptions or reserves, comparison with other cities and historic millage rates over time, also including a discussion about level of service that we want to provide, staffing increases in stormwater projects. Then we're going to get into the proposed budget. This is the end product of what we've been working on all year so far. And that's going to include the millage rate, the impact, budget summary, revenue by source, revenue categories and expenditures. Also talk about special funds and then carry forward items. And then last is the complete tax bill. That is, all of this is just one portion of the complete tax bill that we all receive. Okay, so who we are? Who are we and what do we do? We are here because to fulfill the vision statement of this town, which was adopted over 20 years ago, and that is Ponce Inlet is a residential haven, offering a small town lifestyle where people feel safe and should have easy access to small-scale businesses serving their needs. It's a community that will be distinguished by natural beauty and access to nature, that its built environment is of high quality and appropriate scale while protecting historic features. And then also, it's going to be recognized by the professionalism and integrity of its government and high level of citizen involvement. Our mission statement, this is what staff does day to day, and that's to be professional, caring, and fair in delivering community excellence while ensuring Ponce Inlet citizens obtain the greatest value for their tax dollar. Key public services, this is just some snapshots, some action photos of our staff in action. Primarily, the first and foremost is public safety, and that has to do with hurricane and emergency response. There they are at the top left. They're putting out a fire in the middle of a hurricane. That was during Hurricane Milton last year. Clearing roads, pumping ponds, setting up sandbags. We have our fire crew. They're putting out fires. They're making sure our streets are safe. Infrastructure includes public works. There you see on the left, that's one of our crew members maintaining the swales along South Peninsula Boulevard, Drive. We have our pond dredging that occurred last year. Boardwalk repair, our new backhoe. Above that is also, that's one of our server racks for IT. That is also considered part of our infrastructure with which our operation would not function. And then there's on the right, that's the piling repair at Ponce Preserve. All these things go into what we do. Key services, this is more on the administrative side. We have our code enforcement, which makes sure codes are followed. That also protects property values, by the way, by making sure properties don't go into disrepair. We have our permitting staff adhering all permits and construction adhering to the Florida Building Code, also the Land Use and Development Code. We have cultural services, which puts on many events in our parks. Also has been involved with our landscaping around town at Ponce Preserve. We have administration. They run our elections, they create our budgets, and they in our audits as well. All right, here's our organizational chart. This is unchanged since last year. We have a population of 3,428. That's permanent population. That doesn't include all the part-time and seasonal residents or visitors. The council appoints volunteers to three advisory boards. We also this year transitioned from a code enforcement board to a special magistrate. The council directly hires one employee, that's myself, as town manager. We have eight separate departments, and we have a total of 72 staff members, including myself. And then we outsource other functions that are essential to what we do, such as our auditors, engineers, and town attorneys. And then in 2022, we also appointed our fire chief as public safety director to oversee four of those departments and to assist with coordination. Okay, so let's go into the budget process recap. Are you doing this, Stephanie? Okay, you can do it. That's fine. All right, okay, next slide, please. All right, so here's the calendar. This is where we started. When I say 9 months ago, this literally started on, actually before January 1st, but on January 6th, we had our first meeting of the Cultural Services Board, where they're reviewing items for the proposed budget. And of course, the work to prepare that goes back to December, so we're just a few months away from that for next season. But anyway, two meetings in January, the Cultural Services Board, also Essential Services Advisory Board. They are charged with reviewing budget proposals from police, fire, and public works. In March, we had another meeting of the Cultural Services Board where they kind of finalized their recommendations and what they wanted and or what they were recommending and what they weren't. The ESAB did the same thing, and then they also prioritized those and according to what the costs are going to be and importance to the town. That is their job to make that recommendation to the town council. In April, that's when we traditionally have our auditors present the final audit. The audit is the complete look, complete 100% accurate look of the previous fiscal year. And that is typically done there in April. And for, I believe this is the ninth year in a row, we've gotten a perfect audit from our auditors, even as we've changed auditors. We've come back with a perfect audit, and that is due to the dedication of our staff. Now, in June, the Cultural Services Board also had an additional meeting to look at potential improvements to the town's athletic courts. Every year there's discussion about what we're going to do to improve the courts, perhaps expand the courts, maybe provide more courts. This year it was in relation to a sum of money that we had gotten from Singular Wireless when we renewed the cell tower lease. And the thought was, since that tower is next to the pickleball courts, that should be used to improve those courts in some manner. But they recommended definitely not doing a cover. That was one thing that had been discussed, and not creating additional courts. Now, on June 10th, we had the town council here in these chambers had the preliminary budget workshop. That is where, before we get big, solid numbers, we start looking at everything that has gone before, the recommendations of the boards, what we know at the time about the tax environment in terms of added value to the town properties, any kind of property tax base, that sort of thing. That's a preliminary look. We do that to get the public's input at the earliest possible stage and also that of the council to select priorities and what's concerning to them. Okay, then on June 25th, we had a special council meeting and a presentation on the stormwater utility feasibility study. That's the phase two that you'll see later in this presentation. That is to implement the stormwater utility fee, which, if it's done correctly the way that has been discussed, will offset ad valorem taxes by creating a fee for each property that's based on the impervious area rather than the value of that property. So then we had our town council budget workshop. That was on the 15th. That was followed up by the hearing on the proposed millage rate on the 17th. And then here we are today on the 3rd. For the first budget hearing of the budget that has been prepared according to all of this. Then upcoming, we have our second budget hearing. That's on September 18th. Then the end of the fiscal year, that's on the 30th. And that's set by state law. And of course, October 1st, that's the start of the new fiscal year. All right, next slide. Okay, we're going to review these recommendations. I mean, the cultural services, they don't necessarily add up to a lot in terms of dollar value, but they are important to this community nonetheless. So the Pollard Park Tennis Court, this is the first year of a multi-year resurfacing plan for all courts. And that's done, of course, to maintain safety. If the court has cracks on it, it's not safe to play in. It creates a tripping hazard. There's a new fence recommended for Pollard Park, and that is to kind of create a boundary around that area just to keep the children safe. They're playing there. And then, of course, a historic marker for Coco Bill Williams. He's a very historic figure in this community, 100 years ago. And so that's also recommended. All right, next slide. Okay, then this is the Essential Services Advisory Board. So this year, they start out by recommending the top priority as replacing the backhoe. And this is when we wound up doing at the request of Councilman Wider, the suggestions to get that done this year, this fiscal year, rather than waiting to next, because this is very, very important to our hurricane response in terms of moving equipment, clearing roads, all kinds of things. There's number two, that's the Old Carriage Road Exfiltration System. This is phase two of an improvement that was a set of improvements that was approved by the town council last fiscal year, involving creating the one-way valves on these low-lying streets so that during extreme high tides and storm surge, the stormwater does not flow back up into the streets from the river. Number three is replacing the patrol vehicle. At that time, we were looking at purchasing that outright. Excuse me. And then the preliminary needs evaluation for the fire station. And it's okay. So then there are additional, beyond these board meetings and these specific budget meetings, there are other council meetings in which important budget items were discussed. And all of these led into the creation of the document that you have before you today. At the June 19th meeting, that's when the council fast-tracked the purchase of the backhoe, directed the $180,000 called a signing bonus from the cell tower lease to be placed in the Park and Recreation Fund for future improvements, and approving event details of the Volusia League of Cities dinner. On June 25th, we had a special meeting, as I mentioned, for the Stormwater Utility Phase 2 implementation. At the July 15th budget workshop, that's where the council had asked to add two new public works crew members, pay the $20,000 Pollard Park tennis court resurfacing out of the Parks and Rec Fund, and then add additional money for the replacement fire station design, and keep the millage rate at 6.25. On 17th, that's where the council, they wound up adopting the proposed millage at 6.35. That's what you see on your tax bill. Directed staff to initiate a fire station design feasibility study from the land acquisition fund as opposed to general fund. Maintained fire staffing levels at 5 per shift. Directing staff to proceed with an appraisal for purchasing vacant residential property for future stormwater improvements. That's also out of the land acquisition fund. And then just last week, we had the regular meeting in August in which staff directed council to pay off the remaining public works lease vehicle terms and lease public safety vehicles, use a hybrid lease purchase approach for future years, and requesting additional information for the salary study for a future town council meeting. And then also approving an increase in the waste collection fees. Okay, next slide. All right, budget and tax environment. So these are some of the assumptions that we had started talking about in June, but have since been updated. Our reserves are now operating. This is general fund operating reserves. This is funds the day-to-day operations of the town. It is currently at 7.3 months. We have a resolution that the council adopted a couple decades ago, which specifies that the town shall maintain a reserve in that fund of between 3 and 9 months. So we're getting closer to that. Hurricane expenses from Milton, now all but $27,960 have been reimbursed from FEMA and insurance. We do have rising costs, and this is something that just happens every year, but this we're including proposed salary increases in the budget. This has nothing to do with the salary study that has been discussed. I don't even want to bring it up. I wanted to mention that this has been talked about from the beginning. Employee health insurance costs have gone up 4.7. General insurance package has gone up 4.9. And then flood insurance, we still are waiting to receive those values. We typically don't get those until later in the year, but they're estimated at 10%. The town has combined loan obligations of $3.36 million, and that has to do, and grant matches for stormwater improvements, water system, the Quint, that's the new fire apparatus, and the South Peninsula sidewalk. And that does not include the septic to sewer loan. That's something that's completely different and does not affect this. Revenue. The tax base of the town has increased up to 4.62% this year. And then you see each 0.10 or 0.1 mills generates $132,508. The proportion of homesteaded properties decreased this year. It had been steady for the past couple years. Actually, the homestead number was going up. At one point, it was 35%, but since 2000, it's this decreased. But in any case, so homestead properties is now 46%. And then utility fees. The council adopted several years ago a multi-year schedule to match increases from Port Orange, because we buy our water from Port Orange. We have to pay Port Orange for that water. And they have their own rate increase that's going up every year. We are required by interlocal agreement to also match the sewer rate we just collected for Port Orange on their behalf. They give us a small fee in exchange for doing that for them, but you know, that money otherwise goes straight to them. Then we have the solid waste increase that went up to cover increased expenses from the hauler, and then the county increases landfill fees, so we are required to match that as well. Then we have the stormwater utility fee that's in progress, but we have this phase two refinement and implementation that is proposed in the budget. Okay, next slide. All right, this is a five-year reserve analysis, or analysis of our reserve funds. We have a bunch of different funds for different purposes. There's the general fund at the top. The estimated balance for 24-25, that's there. That's the $5.3 million, and that's for those operating reserves. Then these other funds that you see there for different purposes, some are savings accounts. Some are obligated to pay off loans. Excuse me, others like the historical museum, operates, there's money that's put into that every year. It's almost as if it's a different department, but it's set up for the operations of those funds. And then we have our our accounts like for the refuse, sewer, water, et cetera. And those are enterprise accounts. So that operates more like they're supposed to pay for themselves. They're not supposed to be subsidized. They're paid by the bills that people pay for water and sewer, et cetera. All right, next slide. All right, and this is always an interesting slide here, because what people look at when we compare, the temptation is always there to compare us to other cities and what other cities are doing. Ponce Inlet, by virtue of our small size and relatively few commercial properties, we pay a much higher proportion of our revenue comes from a much higher proportion of ad valorem taxes. That's the property taxes. Other cities, you'll see the land is at the top this year at 16%, but they're not normally that high. They got a huge grant or appropriation, and so that kind of skews their numbers. But ours is mostly consistent from year to year at around this percentage. And that's just the nature. We don't have a lot of commercial development. We don't have a lot of commercial property to be developed. So what is left that would offset that is essentially residential property taxes. There are other sources, but we'll get into that later. All right, next slide. All right, this is a look at the historic millage rates over time, where you see where we were last year is on the right side at 6.4559, whereas proposed is 6.25. If you take the average of that, of all those years, you're just under 6 at 5.9823. And, you know, honestly, that is where we would like to be. We've had, some ups and downs. A few years ago, it went down to 5.3. That was a rollback at the time. To get to that point, had to take a lot of money, almost $500,000 out of general fund reserves for operating expenses. And that kind of set us back, honestly. And then, like, the next month, we had Hurricane Ian that hit. So we had a lot of expenses to make up from that. So you see the following year, it jumped quite a bit. And then a little bit more last year, our current fiscal year. And we're trying to turn that curve back down to get there. So ideally, we wouldn't have any of these ups and downs, but that's where we're headed. All right, next slide. Of course, those millage rates translate into the budget and the overall budget for the town. And you can see, of course, there's been a big increase. I've noted on 22-23 where we had to take that money from reserves. Now, this is not just taxes. This is the total budget amount that includes all revenue sources if you look at it that way, and then that is balanced by an equal number of expenses going to all departments. So you'll see where that takes us for this next fiscal year. But again, we're trying to turn that curve back down. Next slide, please. So how did we get here? So I'd mentioned the Hurricane Ian. That was a big part of it. Starting in fiscal year 23 and 24, we had posed to the council at the July workshop, what level of service do you want to provide? And each one of those, you see a high, medium, low, comes with a millage rate and a cost associated with that. Where the council wound up is at the medium millage rate in slightly different combination of what items got included and what didn't. But that was a choice that the council made to provide a certain level of service. Level of service is defined as staffing, is infrastructure, equipment, all that stuff. That's our job, is to provide services to this community. So next slide. And that's, we went through the same exercise last year. At this point, we just did a high and low. And again, the council picked kind of in between. The millage rate was 6.459, and so that's in between the two that you see there. But again, that came with a combination of equipment, projects, maintenance, et cetera. So the next slide. All right, some people have asked, we've heard of questions from the community, what this increase has gotten. Where is all the money going? So a big part of it is in staffing. So in 2023, new positions were added, assistant deputy clerk and accountant and grants coordinator. Both of those were needed. We had some absences or actually some people that were not able to work for us for health reasons, and we needed people to do the work. If you don't have people to do the work doesn't get done. Accountants, grants coordinator, that was needed because we have been applying for a lot more grants to supplement. That's one of the goals of the council for staff, is to look for ways to offset these expenses. But there's a very high administrative cost to those. Then, let's see, 2024, added new firefighters. That is a result of our accreditation process that began back in 2021. For the fire department, two police officers and one public works maintenance tech. In 2025, there are none proposed. And then in this year, for this next fiscal year, there are the council has proposed two public works maintenance techs. Now, on the right side, we talk about salaries. Per resolution 2021-08, this was done for the town to comply with the Florida Constitutional Amendment number 2 at the time, to increase the base, the lowest level worker employee up to that minimum wage of 15 per hour. And so it was done, the plan to do that was according to the schedule there. So every year, starting on the new fiscal year, that certain amount is specified would be added to the salary of every employee. And that is done so that all employees move up together. There's no compression issues where the bottom level employee kind of bumps into the top as a rate increase. So everything moves up together. Then we're done with that now. So what is proposed for this next full year is 3% for general employees and then 7.5% for public safety. Okay, next slide. During all that time, we've also been involved in a number of stormwater projects. This has been of huge interest to this community and to us staff since Hurricane Ian in 22, and even before that. Our resiliency process started actually back in 2020, and if you're interested, we have a whole timeline of that on our website. But in any case, what you see here is over $1 million, and this is approximate. It's over $1 million of plans and projects to improve stormwater starting in 2022, our vulnerability assessment in 2023. This is following Hurricane Ian, cleaned out half of the storm pipes in town. That no one knew before that, like when that had been done before. So that was a huge effort. And also we are able to map the entire system as well. So that's going to help us going forward. The ponds at Inlet Point and Beach Street have been excavated. We've done the stormwater utility fee that's going to form help pay for future improvements. Did the phase two of that pipe cleaning on the north half of town. We've done drainage studies, had their watershed master plan completed, and that is a huge one. Now, that one came through, was paid entirely by a grant from Department of Environmental Protection. and recommended a large number of drainage projects. So we will be able to use that going forward. Once we get cost estimates, we'll be able to budget for those, apply for grants, et cetera. So then we get into this year. We have proposed our stormwater utility fee phase two implementation. There's purchase of vacant residential property for future improvements. These are the properties that are kind of the proverbial bottom of the bowl. This is where the water goes. And those are the properties that make ideal sites for stormwater retention. We have our exfiltration phase two, the phase two system also recommended by the watershed master plan. Swale maintenance on South Atlantic Avenue. This is one where we actually took that watershed master plan to the County Road and Bridge Department, let them take a look at it, and then they said, okay, thank you, and then they started to work on that. The public works crews have been maintaining the swales you've seen on South Peninsula Avenue, or Drive, I'm sorry, and then we have also the top, the one-way flap valves. Those are the ones on the low-lying roads I'd mentioned before. That's now done. Okay, next slide. Okay, well, let's go talk about the next year's budget. So this is a comparison of different millage rates. And what you see at the bottom, or in the blue highlight, that is our rollback rate, 6.218. That is the amount that if to take in the same exact amount of money as last year, what that would be. What we are proposing is a rate of 6.25, which is 0.51% above rollback rate. And then the 6.35, that was what was adopted by the town council in July. And then the 6.4559, that was this current year's fiscal rate as adopted last calendar year. All right, next slide. All right, this is the impact of 6.25 mils. So you see at the top, that's homesteaded properties. And depending on what your assessed value is, if you're at the top, if you have $1 million home, you would actually be paying less taxes. That's the way the formula works. But then a slight increase for ones below that. And then non-homesteaded properties, those are not as limited as much. Those are owned by people that don't vote here. So those are allowed to increase by up to 10%. And so that's a higher for that. That includes all your second homes and commercial properties. And just out of curiosity, we looked, what is the percentage of the tax base that is occupied by commercial properties? It is 1%. That's it. Okay, next slide. All right, and then this is a summary of the general fund. You see at the top, that's the revenue source broken down by category. And then at the bottom is expenditures. And, of course, those two numbers have to match by law. Next slide. And this is what it looks like when it's broke. You know what, I apologize for that. Some of the labels, when they're not showing up. In any case, so you see ad valorem taxes, that is 77%, that's the big one. That's your property taxes. And we have also sales and use taxes at 4%. Let me see if I printed this out. Let me see if that came here. Okay, charges for service, that is also 4%. We have intergovernmental revenue at 1%. The yellow, what that is supposed to say, is fines and forfeitures of $21,600, and that is it's practically 0%. Interest earnings, those are our investments. When we have money in reserve, we invest those, and we earn money from that. That's $225,800 at 2%. The red, well, it's supposed to be red. Okay, you see the miscellaneous grants and reimbursements, that's $189,690 at 2%. And then the pink, that is reserves, that is $168,922 at 2%. And then the brown is transfers in, that is $59,820, and that's roughly 0%. Okay, next slide. These are the top five categories. I read off for some, but just so you see them here, these are the top five. So this, okay. Let's try this again. Let's go back down here to the pie chart. Okay, now it shows up. Great. Okay, there now you see it, and then now here are the top five. So this is 95% of all the money coming into the town for next year is anticipated from these top five categories. All right, next slide. And then this shows how this money will be spent. So this is, as you see there, the bottom, police and fire, and that's almost half. And that's pretty common, especially for a small town. That's the money needs to go to public safety. That's our top job. We also have building and code at 10, public works at 9, administration, that's finance, town clerk, all the rest there. Then we have information technology, planning and zoning, legal, and legislative, that's the town council, and then parks and rec. So next slide. Okay, here's some highlights of the general fund. These are just ones I thought were important, would be of interest to the community, but of course there's a lot more. There's the two public works crew members to be hired at mid-year. That's the full cost, including salary and benefits. And that's split up. This is what you're seeing here is just the amount to be that would come from the general fund, because they also do work out of our water fund, which is paid for by your water bill. And so that's 30%. So the total half-year cost is $57,943. Then we see your public works is they're requesting a new fuel pump. This is where all the fleet fills up there at the public work facilities. We don't get gas at the gas station. We get it trucked in at a lower cost, and then they all fill up there. Parks repairs. This is the repairing the gazebo roofs at the Ponce Preserve Boardwalk. Council may remember I believe it was last year, the year before, we had talked about replacing those roofs. Our public works director believes they can be repaired instead for a lesser cost. So that's what we're looking at doing that. The buildings at Davies Park, those all need to be repainted. And this is another thing that's been talked about for years and years, whether to do a mural contest or a brick veneer or something. We're just going to paint it because it's time. It's got to be done. There's the old carriage road exfiltration system that I had mentioned. That is basically an underground vault that's going to go in at the end of that cul-de-sac, because there's bad water ponding problem, and of course there's no drainage there except like in the middle of the street or midway down the block. Okay, then the stormwater utility fee. There's also the CRS, that stands for Community Rating System. This is a consultant that the town has hired this fiscal year and wants to continue to work with, that specializes in helping us improve our rating through that community rating system, and that translates into discounts for flood insurance. The higher or the better class you are, then the less you are going to have to pay in flood insurance. We are currently at a 5, which is like it's halfway between 0 and 9, and we are working toward a 4, which most communities actually do not have. So that translates into discounts. We're already at, I believe, a 25% discount based on all the work that's been done to date. And this person is going to help us get even further. All right, next slide. All right, and this is the summary of the special funds. These are the same ones that were shown in the reserve analysis, but this is the amount that would go into each one of these. Okay, next slide. All right, and then some things, the special funds, they're special because a lot of them have their own revenue source. The land acquisition fund in particular is one that has been used to pay off our public facilities, such as this town hall complex and others over time. That money does not come from property taxes. It comes from taxes on fuel, electricity, all these other things that feed into that. So there's a lot that is, now that this town hall has been paid off, and that was over $300-something every year, that money is now freed up to be used for other things. So we have the purchasing the property for stormwater improvements. There's the fire engine that the council discussed and approved last year that would be paid out of this over a 7-year period. Buying out leased vehicles. And then the AC replacement for the police department. They're still working off of their original air conditioning HVAC unit, and it's going to, we don't want to give it any more years. I mean, that's just, we don't want to chance it, because all these things break down. In any case, we have our sewer system upgrade. That is going to come from a DEP, a loan through Department of Environmental Protection. We actually have a signed agreement, but they wanted us to do some additional revisions to that plan, and that's being done right now. And what that would be is this is the first of a two-phase project totaling $10.4 million. And that is to hook up the remaining unserved properties on public roads in town up to sanitary sewer. And so 100% principal forgiveness is basically the town functions as a pass-through. We hire the contractor, we get a bill from the contractor, we give that bill to DEP, they pay us right back. So there's no cost to the town. We expect that to be getting any time now. Okay, then there's the tennis courts that I had mentioned at Pollard Park. There's money available in the reserve account for that purpose. There's a Beach Street stormwater pond expansion. And I didn't have time to put that on the other list, but that's where if you look at the pond right now, the shape of it, it's kind of like a kidney bean shape. And this would make it more of an oval shape. And the idea is to just get some extra capacity out of that land that's there and it can store more water. All right, and then we have the site feasibility study for the replacement fire station, as had been discussed. Okay, next slide. Okay, and then every year we have carry forward items. These are ones that we... that we budget for, but for whatever reason, we're not able to complete that fiscal year. So that money gets shifted over into the next fiscal year. The benefit of doing that is there's no impact to the millage rate. It's just you're putting that money from one pot of money into another. So that allows us otherwise, because it would go back into the general fund reserves and have to be reappropriated. So it's a much more efficient process to do that. Anyway, we have our fire department generator. That one is also, that was funded in part by an appropriation request through the state of Florida. The only reason it hadn't been installed is that there was a delay for the equipment. So we expect that to happen this month and be installed next month. There's a Public Works Building B, which we have discussed repeatedly, most recently last month, to get a sense from the council of what they wanted to see out of that design effort, and so we expect that to be starting. That was money that's all coming out of the land acquisition fund and does not affect property taxes. Then we have the contribution to the Harbor Village replacement dune walkover. That was approved by the council last year, but the agreement we have with Harbor Village is that money doesn't get paid until the project is complete. They've finally gotten their permits. They had to get permits to remove several gopher tortoises that were there on the beach. That has now been done, so they're ready to go. And then once that is done and been inspected, then they will get that. So it's a reimbursement. Okay, then the Timaquan Oaks piling repair, that's ongoing. That's almost finished. There's just a little bit left that needs to be done with that. We have our adaptation action plan, which is the next step in our resiliency efforts, our planning efforts. That has begun this year. The council has hired the consulting firm to do that. And so they're finally able to do that. That's another one that we received a 100% grant from DEP for that, $50,000. Okay, and then the last one is a CRS rating system review that I'd mentioned before. All right, next slide. Okay, and then finally, this is where we wind up. So out of all this, you see the Volusia County, and that is the combined millage rate. They have theirs broken into separate different categories, each with their own millage rate. So it's the general fund, they have their own public safety fund, then Volusia Forever, Echo, and then Library. All those add up to 5.5698. So that's 31% of your tax bill. Then you have the Ponce Inlet at 6.25. That would account for 34%. School district at 29%, and then all the other little ones are adding up to 100%. All right, next slide. Okay, so here we are with next steps. We are here at the hearing for the council to review and vote on the ordinance and millage rate resolution. That is, again, the product of everything we've done to date for this that has got us here to this point. Then the second hearing and then final millage rate resolution, that is at the regular council meeting on September 8th, and that is at 6 p.m., and then the new fiscal year starts October 1st. Okay, next slide. All right, we'll be happy to answer any questions that you have. Down at the bottom, that is a link to our web address for our budget page. Anyone can look at the budget that's been adopted. We also have all the meeting agendas for the different boards, the councils, minutes from those, all the presentations. It's all right there. So I'm happy to answer any questions you have. We have our budget team up here in front on the table, and all of our other department heads are here as well.
Mike, first I want to thank you. I think all the council will agree that that was quite a comprehensive presentation, and clearly a lot of work went into it. And I do know that a lot of work has gone into it by our staff, the finance team, translating the council goals to something concrete for us to look at so that the services that our residents expect are available to them. There are a lot of pieces to this, and it is rather complex. So at this time, we had the opportunity to speak with all of you, but I'll see if any council member has any additional questions now. Joe?
No questions. I went through this thoroughly, and I'm satisfied with the outcome of it. And I must compliment the staff, the level of detail, the way it's presented. This is on par with the Fortune 100.
Thank you. Councilman White.
Sure. Thank you. And I do have a few questions. I know it's a surprise, but hey. But and Michael, first, thank you for today. I spent about an hour and 50 minutes with Michael, and we talked, and he listened, and I listened, and we talked some more. But Michael answered a lot of the questions that I had. There were a few that we didn't get to, but I think it's important that the residents hear some of the things that I ask to make sure that everyone understands that we are focused as a council to try to get the best possible budget that we can at a feasible rate that we can all afford. One thing that Michael put up there, and I applaud him for doing it, it was part of our conversation today, and I actually got goosebumps on my arms because he put up the slide that showed the average of our millage rate over the past, was it, Michael, 10 years, I think is what you said?
It's, well, 13.
13
get back,
years.
Get back to that one.
And, yeah. You know, it's really funny because in my mind, I was hoping that we could get to one day below the 6% number. And Michael pulled that up while I was in his office, and he said, you know, here's the average number at 5.9823. And he said, Skip, that is my goal and the staff's goal to try to get back to that number. And I can't tell you how good that made me feel. And thank you for that. So, and thank you, staff, for that. And the residents feel the same way. So, that being said, I'll get into my questions. And again, Michael, this one on page 2 of your memorandum, stabilization of reserves. We're at $5.3 million or 7.3 months. What are your thoughts on where we currently stand in fiscal 24-25 and continue to build our reserve number? We added $1.1 million on a $10 million budget in 23-24. Our 24-25 budget is $10.9 million. Based on our monthly financial reports that we receive, I don't need a number, but how do you feel about us being able to continue to add to our town reserves?
Yeah, I feel confident that we can add to them. I can't tell you exactly how much, but we have been able to do that. Even going back from when that fiscal year 2022 and 23, when the reserves were, when the council had taken money out of the reserves for that, I thought it was interesting. Some members of the council at that time, immediately the next year, were like, well, how soon can we build up the reserves? Well, you know, we've made progress toward that. You know, we don't intentionally tax for reserves. Normally when we try to do things under budget, and I think most people can agree that's a good thing. But we only get to assess the taxes and set those once a year. So if we are able to come in under budget, then that means we have that money left over. So it goes into reserves. That's how reserves are built up over time.
And again, I remember attending a county council meeting, and Councilman Troy Kent, I thought he was going to come out of his chair when someone mentioned dipping into the reserve for something that was unbudgeted. And I took that kind of to heart because he said, that's our savings account. That's your personal savings account. That's our rainy day money. And I know, Bill, you feel the same way I do. We start getting into reserves, but we have to build them. So that's the reason I asked the question. On page 3 of your memorandum, ad valorem taxes comprise 77% of our general fund at $8.3 million. What percentage in dollar amount did our local businesses contribute?
Yeah, that's that 1%.
Okay, I knew you answered that, but I wanted that to hear. Any idea what dollar amount, couple thousand? Go ahead. A couple thousand, maybe.
But 1%. Can you go back to the pie chart slide, the revenue slide? Okay, so yeah, 1% of that.
Right. And so the reason I bring that up, you know, and again, part of Michael and I's conversation today, I wish we had more land that we could have some businesses come in that we want to be here, but we don't. And so we're kind of getting in a situation as the years continue to unfold that we do not have any more building sites. We do not have any more opportunities for businesses. So, again, I make that point for a reason. Go to page number 5 of the memorandum. And life insurance increased 18%, workers' comp increased 17%. Do we have any other insurers that we could contact? What's the process?
Yeah, we use a broker, and that is Brown & Brown. And we have a good relationship with them. They shop around for us. Basically, they look for the best rates on our behalf. You know, we talk to them, we have good discussions, and in fact, a lot of times they're able to, after we tell them what our needs are and kind of what we're looking at, they're able to go back and find a better rate for us.
Okay. And again, on page 9, we talk about the Hurricane End Fund and our Disaster Recovery Fund. I'm glad we're consolidating that under one. That's easy for us to track. Page 11, good news on the town hall loan being paid off the books. Our stormwater loan is paid off next year. It's $156K. So that took us our total of $484,000 that actually came off the books. Well, will come off the books. We did have the first year of the Quint at roughly $210,000. So that leaves us about $274,000 potentially that could be freed up. And I know that is a stormwater loan. And that's a different reserve bucket, but at least it gives us some more breathing room. On page 5 of our budget presentation, the actual budget, and again, this is just a quick question. Where we had last year the fees, rental property, and again, we had the income there, and then on page number 6, we actually moved that over under the rental property maintenance inspection fee. Can you tell me what triggered that move?
Yeah, that has to do with the ordinance that was on the council's agenda for last month about the rental inspection program and permit program. Our town attorney had recommended some changes to that program to I don't know if you want me to get into the whole issue here.
No. But just
in any case, the ordinance that was done says that the fees for that program are intended to pay for the cost of running that program. Our attorney had recommended that we relook at the proportion of those fees. And that's based on time. So what is the total time that it takes to administer the inspection part of it versus the permit part of it? So with second reading of that ordinance this month on the 18th, you will also see a resolution to formally change those fees. Okay. And that's based on the proportion of time spent and the staff involved in that. And so that number is reflected here. So it's a rebalancing of those respective fees.
Okay. And it pretty much helped us clean up any potential suit that might be out there.
Right.
Move over to page number 19. The $50K that was transferred from the police department to cover the overspend from the fire department and overtime, what line did that come out of whenever we did the mid-year transfer? I'm sorry, page 19. But we moved mid-year, and Jerry, I know, do you have the answer to that one?
You want to get that one, Jerry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what we took from the police department was not out of the overtime for the police department. It was out of salaries for the police department, the FICA for the police department, and the retirement for the police department.
Okay, so.
And that's from the vacant salary, or vacant position. That we had.
Okay. So since we did that, are we now not able to replace that police officer until next budget year?
Well, yeah, that's correct, Ryan. I mean, that money is not there, and I think we are in the process of hiring someone, and we're about to finish that process.
Okay, so yeah. That leads me to my next question. Where are we on staffing as far as the police department, and do we still have that additional person built in the 25-26 budget?
Well, yeah, and this answers it. So we just had, we're about to hire someone. They're in the very last stages of completing the hiring process, background checks, physicals, all that stuff. But then we just lost someone. So as of today, we still have one vacancy, even after this new person gets hired.
Okay. So, Chief, we're still looking, correct? Okay. So, again, we can, if we find someone, even though we move the 50 out, we can still bring them on board. Okay, good. I'm almost wrapping up, I promise. And this one's really important, and not particularly this one piece, but on page 19 also, the police fund rental and lease. I understand that we stated at the last council meeting to consider leasing police vehicles, a hybrid. So we had $50K budgeted in the budget, and the lease is probably going to be, I'm guessing, 8. Don't hold me to that exact number. Where did the 42 go?
I'm going to let Jerry respond to that one, too. Or Kim.
Okay, so the rentals and leases, we increased $14,400
okay.
in the general fund, $521,4400. And we also had to increase non-capital equipment. And that was $10,000.
Okay.
So that's $24,400. What we took out of the budget, if you go to the Public Safety Equipment Fund, in 522-6470, machinery and equipment vehicle, we took that vehicle out of $50,000.
Okay.
So that was taken out. But just keep in mind, on that same line item, 6470, we had to add $40,900 for the buyout of the two lease vehicles because that's the same GL account number.
Got it. Okay. Thank you. And this is the big one. Also on page 19, under the police fund non-capital equipment, it went up $10,000 from the July presentation. And it states in here equipment and graphics for new lease vehicle. Is it going to cost us $10,000 to put graphics and equipment on a lease vehicle?
Yeah, that is a cost. I'm going to, Chief Scales, you want to speak more to that?
Okay, so let me make another comment before that happens. I had thought about that, or we as a council had thought before we talked about leasing, because the reason we talked about leasing was the potential of making money on a vehicle or selling it in 2 years or 3 years and making, I'm going to say a profit, but making, selling it to make some money and then lease again. If it's going to cost us $10,000 to put equipment on there, I don't see us making a $10,000 profit. So I'm at a position where I'm ready to pull back on my original statement of leasing because I don't think it makes financial sense anymore. If we're going to have to pay $10,000 each time we pull a new lease vehicle in there. And the other question I have, if we try to utilize the equipment that we currently have on our vehicles. What if we can't get the same type of truck that we're utilizing? Would it fit? So this really triggered my brain to saying, maybe we need to reconsider where we took the stance on leasing, because it made sense of leasing and selling. If he tells us that, hey, you're going to get more for that vehicle in 2 years than you get in 3 years, but we still have $10,000 plus our lease payment invested, the numbers do not compute. That's just my only comment.